Welcome to the 10-Minute Entrepreneur Podcast, intended to equip and encourage business owners and aspiring entrepreneurs. Taught by active business owner, best-selling author, and teacher, Sean Castrina.
All right, this is Sean Castrina with the 10-Minute Entrepreneur Podcast. I have a great guest with me today. Not only is he a founder and entrepreneur, but he wrote a book, and you got to love the title of this book. It's called F Broke. Yeah, F-U-C-K, Broke, Let's Get Rich. Yeah, the only reason why I don't curse is because I would have like Tourette's syndrome if I let it go. So that's the only reason why I don't. So F Broke, Let's Get Rich. I have Kasi Stobbs with me today. Hey, Kasi, it's great to have you on the podcast.
Great to be here, Sean.
All right.
Looking forward to it. Let's get into it.
Yeah. So what made you came up? I love the title of the book, and you know, we're always supposed to use good hooks and that gets your attention. What made you write that book?
Yeah. What made me write the book was just that. I really wanted to have a platform, a guidebook for people today that kind of showed, using examples from my life, how to go from 0 to 100, from you know, whatever you're making today to whatever you dream of making in the future, whatever those goals may be, especially if it's written around money, right? So it's a finance book, but it's a finance book written in a raw, new age, in your face way. And that's kind of why I wrote the book, was I felt like there wasn't anything out there for guys like me that started with absolutely nothing, didn't have parents that could kind of hand stuff down to them, and had to kind of build it up without connections. And how do you go from that to now you've got businesses, you've got companies, you got connections, like what, you know, how do you go from here to here? Right.
And I love that, because I grew up in the exact same situation. So I'm excited to hear how you did it. So give us your story and then tell us a little bit and then tie it into the book. I'm curious how your personal story.
Yeah, absolutely. So really quickly, my parents immigrated from Jamaica to Canada in the late 70s, and then had us kids. So it was two boys and a girl. One of my brothers and sisters were actually born in Jamaica, and two of us were born in Canada. I was born in Canada. And, you know, my mom came over as a nanny, right? So she came over taking care of other people's kids. And when she first came over, the rest of the family was still in Jamaica. So brother, sister, dad was still in Jamaica while she was here taking care of other people's kids. And she used to talk about how every night she used to cry herself to sleep because, you know, she was taking care of other people's kids while her, you know, her family was back home. But she was doing it to bring the rest of us out, right? And eventually she was able to bring the rest of the family out. And then my mom and dad had two additional kids, and we were kind of born in a system where, you know, my parents worked really hard to get jobs. My dad started working as a heavy duty mechanic. He got a bit of an education. And then they had us kids, and right from a young age, it was cemented in my brain that, you know, just if you work hard, you can accomplish things, right? My dad coming in from Jamaica without an education, he was able to get an education, he was able to get a trade ticket. He worked as a heavy duty mechanic. He worked as a millwright. He was able to get these trade tickets, and make something of himself, right? And a country like Canada provided opportunities. And you let me know that when you're born in countries like Canada and like the United States, it allows you a certain amount of opportunities that you just don't get if you're born in Jamaica.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's funny that you say that, because I think that's so important. You know, I'm new to social media, you know, and over the last year, and I get DMs from people in Nigeria and other countries where I literally have to humble myself and say, I'm not sure what you do. I'm not sure what you do in that situation. I'm from the United States of America, where even when it's bad, it's better than 90% of the world.
Exactly. Right. And I think having that connection to Jamaica and Canada, understanding how bad it is there and how good it is here, let me know that, okay, I've got an opportunity here. I can't mess it up. And, you know, I really struggled in school. I talk a lot about, you know, dyslexia. I talk about it a lot in the book, where when you do struggle, how do you overcome that? And how do you incrementally get better? Like, I ended up becoming a phenomenal public speaker, right? To my own horn. But I became a phenomenal public speaker because I couldn't read well. And it's kind of a twist, because if you don't read well and you're uncomfortable reading in front of people and the teacher says it's time to do a speech, what you do is you memorize the speech, right? And you go over it over and over and over again so you don't have to read it in front of your classmates. So at a very young age, while all my classmates were reading, I was, you know, using mannerisms and getting up there, and the people were complimenting about how great of a public speaker I was, but it was really out of necessity. So having early success at that allowed me to understand that, okay, if I just focus on a thing, I can be really good at that thing that I focus on. And if I set goals around what I want to accomplish, my first goals were around real estate. I set goals around that. And then I just educated myself, like read a lot of books, listen to podcasts like this. The more you educate yourself, you just pick up little nuggets here and there, right? And I always say the difference between, you know, 15-year-old Kosi and Kosi today is 15-year-old Kosi can't do what I do today because he just doesn't know what I know, right? And if anyone in the audience knew what was in my brain, they wouldn't be doing what they're doing, right? Like, they'd be doing things that I'm doing. But how did I get this brain? I got this brain by 20 years of research, studying, analyzing different companies, analyzing different deals, and looking at what worked for people, looking at what doesn't work for people, right? Getting into like the real micro. So you do that consistently over a long period of time, eventually you get really good.
It's funny that you say that, because I'm of the same exact, you know, the biggest problem with our generation and social media is everybody thinks it happens fast. Nothing happened fast in my life.
Nothing.
Nothing that ever amounted to anything. You know, the Malcolm Gladwell, you know, outliers, the 10,000 hour principle, man, it is true. It's, you know, even if you worked your butt off, you worked on a skill for 20 hours a week above and beyond your job, but you studied, you read, you took courses, It would take you 5 years to reach that 10,000 to where you understand it. And I have found it literally, that's not far off. You literally have to put 5 years eating and drinking a subject matter to become that expert that can make money in it yourself and help others.
Absolutely. And, you know, I talk a lot about, you know, we talk about business kind of circulating to today, and then you start buying businesses and what makes your business successful and some of your competitors aren't doing well. And as you know, I come down to four principles, right? You have to be able to market a product. You have to be able to sell a product, right? So you have to understand marketing, you have to understand sales. You have to be able to execute. So once you sell that product, you need to be able to execute on what you've promised. And then after you've executed and you delivered at a high standard, then you need to make sure your customers are satisfied. You need to do all four, right? And if you are fall down in one of the four, you've got a big problem, right? Because you do the, like I call the social media thing, as you talk about social media. If you do a great job marketing people on social media, like, hey, you know, I'll get you rich in 10 days, buy this course. Okay, great. You've marketed them and you sold it to them. But now they take the course and it's crap and it doesn't deliver on the expectations. So now you've fallen down on the execution and the customer satisfaction. Well, you don't get those customers going to other customers telling you how good that thing was. Instead of going online and saying, it's a fraud, it's crap, it's all this stuff. So it's not a long-term sustainable business, right? Long-term sustainable is when you actually deliver on what you expect and the customer is satisfied and they can tell, and then the company starts to grow. And it's so simple, right? When you break it down, but if you look at companies that don't do well, they're falling down in one of those areas, right? They're falling down in one of those key components. That being said, or it's like a financial side where they're just not looking at the economics of their situation and they haven't figured out, you know, I have to sell it for this to make money at this, right? Some people don't get that as well, but just as a base principle, you got to be able to market it, sell it, execute, and then make sure the customer is satisfied and pay attention to the customer.
Yeah, it's absolutely that. And I tell people from the beginning, like when you're working on your bit, you know, they got this idea, everybody has an idea and they all think their ideas are so valuable. I'm like, an idea without execution is nothing. Okay. So
exactly,
execute.
Right?
And number one is don't execute on an idea where you don't know how you're going to attract customers. So I killed two birds with one stone. You know, it's funny you talk about the four, and I'm like, you know, number one is, you know, an idea without execution is irrelevant. And the number one thing you better figure out your execution, how am I going to attract customers? Because if you can't attract customers, that's the biggest problem to solve.
Exactly. You might as well stop, because if there's nobody's buying it, good luck, right? And it's pay attention. Like you say, I always say pay attention to the customer. because the customer will tell you directionally where they're going, right? I got a ton of examples. Like even if you look at, you know, let's talk about cable television today, right? 10 years ago, way more people watch cable TV than they do today. It's been going directionally down for the last decade. The customer for the last 10 years have been telling cable companies that we fundamentally aren't as interested as we were before. So they've got a choice. They can either pivot or die, right? It's, you know, they've got the problem for most companies is they don't understand that. They don't pivot. They don't pay attention to the customer. But if you don't pay attention to the customer, Blockbuster didn't pay attention to the customer, they died. Like Blockbuster allowed a group of guys, before Netflix was Netflix today, they allowed a group of guys to come and dominate them, right?
Oh,
they had hundreds of millions of dollars.
How do you say that? I use that illustration so often.
All they had to do was pivot.
The worst, the most inept board, whoever was on the Blockbuster board owes shareholders money because that was the most inept. How did you not see it coming?
Complete incompetence, right? Listen to the customer. The customer's obviously telling you they no longer wanted. There's a whole bunch of examples around that Blockbuster situation, but the customer's telling them early, we don't give a shit. We don't want to, we no longer want to consume this way. Yeah. And their sales were going directly this way. They saw Netflix coming. All they had to do was pivot. And they would have, because they were already ingrained in the minds of everybody.
Yeah, they had the brand positioning, but, and they had right? the money. They had the money. They were worth $1 billion. now Netflix is worth like I think a $240 billion valuation. It's crazy.
So yeah, so it's things like that. So it's exciting. I really dig into that when I talk about the book. I really dig into that. Really starting from nothing to zero to hero, and then you know really just right to your face, simple, clear ways that people can understand. Because it takes me hard to understand things. I need it broken down in a way that's really simple. So that's how I explain it to people, right? Just like this. Like, if you really start and think about it, nothing in business is really overly complex, right? It's really not complex, but it's also, it takes a lot of work to understand it. And you need to get in the right path. And like you said, you got to put the time in. You got to put those 10,000 hours in. If you're not willing to do that, then do something else. And that's what I tell people. Like, if you're not willing to put the time in, do something else. Like, there's lots of other things you can do in life that won't cause you stress. But just do something else.
You know, people, they were in awe of Tiger Woods. We're in awe of LeBron. But if you really think about it, Tiger made Tiger. I mean, that two-year-old Tiger swinging a golf club for 16 right? straight years became Tiger. Let's be. There are other 6'9" super freak physically, Tony Gonzalez, and a lot of incredible athletes. Karl Malone. There was a lot of gifted athletes that were extremely big. You know, 6'9" is not earth shattering in the NBA, but a LeBron at 6'9" and all that skill, that's what creates an outlier. You know, it's exactly. Their unbelievable discipline to their craft.
Yeah. And it's not being comfortable with good. I've never been comfortable with being good. I've always wanted to be the best at everything that I do. I want to be number one. I want to be the best. And when you want to be the best, you work a lot harder and you say, you know, in my competition right now, they're sleeping. I can be working while they're sleeping and I'll get an extra 2 hours that they don't have. Right. You just keep pushing yourself to the furthest limits to be better. Cause good. Whenever someone says I'm good, it's like, that's the enemy of great. Good is the absolute enemy of greatness. And when you're trying to achieve greatness, you've got to push for greatness.
No, that's so, I've just wrote a couple of good quotes down. I love that. And I love the one, never be comfortable with good. That it's so true. And good is the enemy of great. There's no doubt. You know, it's funny. We don't ever talk about people that are good because good never made it to the major league. Good never made it to the,
right?
Good can be good only when you're among your great people and you're all kind of good. You know what I mean? It's like, is Jim Brown better than Barry Sanders, better than Walter Payton? It's like, there's marginal here and there. No, they're great. And then they're just, you know, there's just different variations among running backs. But you're right. Yeah. Good. People don't pay great money for good. They want great. They want excellence. They want the, you know, yeah, it's so true. So tell me you know, obviously where people can buy your book. And I mean, I think it's just, I took a page of notes already. So where can we get your book and how can people connect with you?
It's available on Amazon. So if you just Google the title or my name, Kosi Stogg, you'll find it on Amazon. And to connect with me, Instagram is probably the best way. I spend quite a bit of time on Instagram, not as much these days, but the platform I spend the most of my time on. My handle is The Property Owl on Instagram. And then, if you message me, it may take a little while, but I try to message back as many people as I can. But yeah.
I love it. And let me just tell them the book one more time. It's, hey, F broke. You know what that means? Let's get rich. And you can't beat a title, because I have a talk that I give at colleges called Broke Sucks. Because I love these college students, their minimalist approach. And, I love sitting in a classroom of 90% affluent kids that don't realize it.
Pay $10,000 a year to be here.
I'm a minimalist. I just want the very basics of this, but you're wearing $100, $140 jeans, and wearing Lululemon and all the rest. I find it. And I just tell them, no, this is what I can tell you. As somebody who's old enough to tell you, broke sucks.
Yeah, absolutely. It's not fun at all. I've been there. I've done that. It's not fun at all.
it isn't. You absolutely need to get this book. I wouldn't have him on my show if I didn't think he'd bring some value, because the whole idea of entrepreneurship, the reason why I equip and encourage and educate entrepreneurs, is because I want you to have a better life. I want you to make more than, what you even can imagine, actually. I mean, entrepreneurship has made my life very, very nice. And so, listen, F broke. Let's get rich. Again, if I'd started dropping F-bombs on this podcast, I'd have Tourette syndrome. I'd be like Andrew Dice Clay. The guest I have is Kosi Stobbs. That's Kosi. And that's Stobbs, Stobbs. That will be in the show notes. But let's get that book. Kosi, thank you so much for being a guest on the podcast today.
It's been an absolute pleasure. Have a great day.
Great. This is Sean Castrina with the 10-Minute Entrepreneur Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. We're equipping, encouraging, and educating entrepreneurs in the least amount of time possible. We will talk again soon.